President Tanner and President Romney, President Benson, and these beloved brethren. And I, too, would like to pay tribute to Sister Spafford and Sister Sharp and Sister Madsen for being in the audience with us this night. It has been such a joy and a privilege to try to follow in their footsteps. And I rejoice in the privilege of having them with us. I want you to know that it is a great honor and a privilege to be with you, the sisters that I love and that I want to serve as our Heavenly Father would have me do. And I am grateful to this choir, who has stated so beautifully in music one of the most important questions a Latter-day woman can ask. O God, who gave me a woman's heart, a woman's mind, a woman's tongue, what wouldst thou desire of me? It's a simple question asked tonight with the pleading of 400 voices, yet repeated silently by each of us who also ask in prayerful supplication, what wouldst thou desire of me? The scriptures reveal one woman's response to the very same question. The woman, Queen Esther. Her questioning moment was a hard and very lonely one when her uncle Mordecai sent her word that she should go into the king and plead for him to spare her people from their planned destruction. Esther, though queen, had no right to go to the king unless he called for her to come. The king had absolute power. She had no right of appeal. But she really was the only one with possible entrance to the throne and his power. Her uncle reminded her, who knows, but that thou wast sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther had the strength born of good teaching. It enabled her to determine to ask all of the Jews of the kingdom to fast and pray with her. It was then she made personal preparation by looking her most beautiful as she went to see the king. With every step, she must have wondered, will he hold out his royal scepter? Will he condemn me to death? Will he banish me to poverty and oblivion? She stood before him young and beautiful and calm, knowing that she was totally vulnerable. She also knew that she had appealed to God for help and that there was a great moral wrong about to be committed. She had to be responsible to God who made her, no matter what the mortal consequences. Each woman in today's world has responsibilities akin to those which Esther faced. The circumstances of each life are significantly different. Yet each woman faces the challenge of being true to the principles of the gospel if she would improve the quality of her mortal life and make herself worthy of the opportunity of eternal progression. She should begin by understanding who she is and that she has a magnificent potential as a daughter of God. Her goals, then, should be lofty. The scriptures say, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Quickly, I caution that this is not an obtainable goal in one step, or in one day, or in one year. It takes a lifetime of conscious effort, of striving and learning and living to become a very special woman. It was in 1874 when Eliza R. Snow said, quote, Paul the Apostle anciently spoke of holy women. It is the duty of each of us to be a holy woman. We all have elevated aims if we are holy women. We shall feel that we are called to perform important duties, and no one is exempt from them. There is no sister so isolated and her sphere so narrow, but what she can do a great deal towards establishing the kingdom of God upon the earth, unquote. The method outlined by the Lord is to learn. Learn line upon line, precept upon precept. Set realistic goals so that you can feel the joy of victory over yourself. Such a victory is being won by a friend of mine with a large family. She has 12 children, and although she has lots of days of discouragement, generally speaking, she is out of bed early to exercise. She hates to exercise, and so she hurries and gets it out of the way. Next, she reads the scriptures, and she enjoys that so much that she has to make herself stop at the determined 1/2 hour. And she prays, sharing her gratitude and all of her concerns with the Lord. And this way she feels his guidance and his direction, even when things don't work out the way she had planned. She has a positive, happy attitude as she greets her children. I wish all of us could attend to our homemaking responsibilities with the vision of my friend. She certainly hasn't obtained perfection in her home. But she does realize that even though her children don't practice the piano every day, if they continue to practice at least a little, that they will develop the recognition necessary to love music and enrich their lives through it. She knows the great challenge of living within her husband's paycheck, but she also knows the importance of loving him and loving their children and laughing with them. Perhaps she may not be aware that C.S. Lewis has wisely said that homemaking, quote, is surely in reality the most important work in the world. What do ships, railways, mines, and governments exist for? Except that people may be fed and warmed and safe in their own homes. We wage war in order to have peace. We work in order to have leisure. We produce food in order to eat it. So yours is the job for which all others exist. End of quote. If we could listen to the earnest pleadings of the prayers of my friend, they would probably be very much like yours and mine. Even though I am well aware of the fact that all women cannot stay at home, but must seek employment to supplement or supply the family income, they should be commended because it is not an easy role, but one that is vitally important. But I hope that their prayers are raised to the Lord for his affirmation of their decision to accept employment away from their small children only when absolutely necessary. When employment away from the home is secured for the right reasons, a woman should feel confident and serve happily. You are wonderful women. You do what needs to be done. My heart was deeply touched by the obedience of sisters I recently met in a country at war. I heard the Branch Relief Society president commend them for their commitment to the work of the Lord and to each other during the perilous times they faced each day. She said, "You never know when you step outside your door whether you'll be attacked by terrorists. And yet, you do your visiting teaching and you attend all of your church meetings. You are courageous women who would do a mighty work quietly in such a time as this. Like Esther, we must fortify ourselves so that when hard or lonely moments come, we can call upon God for his strength, his wisdom, and his vision, that we might act according to righteous principles. The haunting challenge of Mordecai rings out to us today. Who knows but that thou wast sent to the kingdom for such a time as this? We can rejoice in being among those the Lord has sent to the kingdom to accomplish his work, to raise children unto him, to spread his gospel, to prepare a generation to greet him on his return. May we all rise to the challenge of being holy women in these latter days, that this chosen generation and holy nation might show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For he lives and he loves us. I so testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.